Hello and welcome to another episode of the Edge of Futurist podcast. How are we diddling? How is life, Ben?
We are diddling extremely well. Life is good. Life is full. That is all I can say right now.
It is. And we won't say when, where, how, what, or anything else, but we're flying, Ben. We are flying with the Edge of Futurist stuff. We've got guests waiting. We've got stuff absolutely rammed to the rafters. We are booked up, ready for the Edge of Futurist Uprising 2024 on the 11th of July in Leeds at the Old Red Bus Station. If you are listening and you want to get a ticket, make sure that you sign up. We will maybe throw the link up at some point during the show, and it'll be in the show notes. Go grab your ticket. And if you're a business and you are excited to be part of the future of education and you want to be part of this community and supporting the community, then please reach out to us, DM us on social media, or send us an email. I'm going to share a bit in regards to some things that I've been looking at. So I read a Future of Work report, and the Future of Work report was a brilliant article. And I'm just trying to think of the person that wrote it. And just bear with me, because this is terrible of me. I should have prepped greater. But the Future of Work report basically shared that we are preparing students or young
people. Future Design School. Future Design School.
No, it isn't. It's not a very one. Different way. No, it's a oh, different okay, one. Okay. I read a couple, but we have been reading that one, and hopefully that'll be another guest. And it talked about the future of work and what we are preparing people for. And ultimately, it says we will have 17 jobs. So Generation Z, so anybody, was that 97 to 2012? We'll have 17 jobs, 5 careers, and 2 side hustles in their lifetime. And we talk about education and we say, oh, we're preparing our students. And what we're doing is we're preparing them for their career. Well, I'm just sure that the research is showing that actually, as they develop through, we're not preparing young people for what we were prepared for, or our parents were prepared for, our people surrounding us, because ultimately the world is a very different place. If you think about career and education, Ben, people will go from a teacher to a potentially a line manager and all the way up to a leadership job, and then maybe move careers like we did. We've also got a side hustle. You've got one, Ben. You're doing some great stuff at the minute, and then we've got this. It's true. It's living now. It's not even what the future of learning is. It's actually happening. And we're talking about preparing our students by delivering a curriculum that maybe is outdated by the time that they've left. So if they're doing a 5-year qualification and degree, that information could already be outdated. And we should be preparing them for a little bit more than that rather than just that knowledge. But that's a bit of learning I've been doing for the last 2 weeks. And I've found it really interesting, especially as a business owner and a leader, an employer, because I'm not seeing it coming through in terms of the skills stuff. But how about you, Ben? What have you been up to?
Yeah, lots of cool stuff. I've just subscribed to a new newsletter, actually. It's called Farnham Street. It was recommended to me by somebody on a plane, interestingly. I was reading a book, and this guy said to me, he's called Craig, actually. I've met him many, many moons ago, and then sat next to him on a plane coming back from Bucharest. Crazy story, right? And he just said, sign up for this thing called Farnham Street. I think it'll be right up your street. One of the things I shared on socials recently, he said, he says this, common core. It's a guy written by a guy called Shane. I can't remember his last name, but that's bad. But Shane. And anyway, he said one of the things he says, common causes of bad decisions. There's 5 reasons why people make bad decisions. First one, not asking and then what. That's an important part. Why we make bad decisions. Second, blindness to large trends. We get caught with blind spots. Third, assumptions based on small sample sizes because we don't really know what we're looking at. 4th, conforming to the expectations or the authority or the groupthink or whatever else. And then wanting the world to work the way we want rather than the way that it does. So that's the reason why how people make bad decisions. And I was like, oh, which ones of them am I on? So, yeah, some cool stuff. It's good to read good stuff, listen to good stuff, watch good stuff.
We are going to get back on. Dr. Elizabeth Eliza Philby.
She's brilliant.
She's the one who I read the report on. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
Waiting backstage, I attend conferences. I have the wonderful luxury of speaking at conferences. And I would say probably in the last 5 years, the session that I attended that was run by this individual was probably one of the most inspirational ones I've ever been to. It was a time of, in terms of my personal life, where I'll be honest, I was probably struggling. I wasn't looking after myself. I was focusing on everybody else and giving myself to everybody else, which is just something that I do on a regular basis. I wasn't looking after myself. And I went to this session and I went, why is this guy just presented to me? And in a second, we're going to bring him on. And people will realize pretty quickly why this guy's session was. It just get ready for the fun and get ready for the engagement here, everybody. I've bigged him up too much here. Let's bring him in.
Jack. Hey, how are you doing? How's it going? Listen, you've just set it up too beautifully. Yeah. I thought, who's he talking about? Me?
I thought we had somebody else back there, Jackson. I totally forgot, mate. So we met, and I say I had the pleasure. And you were really kind to me. I showed do you know that video that you did for me, and I don't know if you remember that video. You took my phone. You went, "Give me your phone. Let me do this." That one where at the end it says, "Fill your cup up, otherwise I'm going to come into you and I'm going to slide tackle you." And all my friends laughed when I share that. But I saw you present on leadership, happiness, and lots of different things at the Google Champion Symposium. But for everybody who doesn't know you, I think it amazes me that people would. But who are you? And what is your journey, mate?
Okay, so hi everyone, how you doing? My name is Action Jackson, the UK ambassador for happiness. All I want to do is spread happiness wherever I go, online, offline, at Tesco's, you name it. Just bring a smile to people's faces. Born in the UK, grew up in Nigeria. I always wanted to become an actor, but I didn't think I was good enough to become an actor. That little voice in my head told me that I wasn't good enough. So, you know, it slide tackled me instead of me slide tackling it. But eventually I came across personal development and I fell in love with personal development. So the world of personal development met the world of entertainment, which allowed me to create talks, as it were, that encompassed great ideas to help you really tap into your potential, unlock your potential, and look after yourself. And to be able to do that, not just for yourself, but for your team, and also for the people that you serve. And majority of my energy comes from being a fitness freak. Also, I'm a pig when it comes to eating. I'm also love fitness. So I'm both, you know. I might eat like 10 jam donuts. Okay, don't judge me. And then the next time I'm running a 10K. So I like to balance it out. Happily married to my wife, Nancy, and a dad of two beautiful girls, Olivia and Yada. And I've been doing this now for the last, say, 25 years of traveling around the country and around the world, empowering people to dream big, act now, never give up, because they're truly amazing.
Sounds the UK ambassador for happiness, right? That as a title in and of itself is class, right? Because what isn't common everywhere we go is that people are happy. Like when you ask people, how are you doing? They'll say, I'm fine. Yeah. Or I'm busy. Or they'll say, most people, in fact, I don't know I don't know anybody whose initial response would be, I'm happy. And increasingly, and I didn't even come to your sessions, right? And I'm sorry I didn't, but I'm glad that we get to do this. But I feel like I've lived through it vicariously because of the impact that you made on Steve. And Steve gives a lot of compliments, right? But he's very guarded and clear about how he does that. But I know that the impact that you had on him is the kind of impact, the right kind of impact that we want everybody to have on each other, right? Because when we're in a world that's not happy, or in a society that doesn't explain themselves as happy, being an ambassador for happiness, like that, that's a job, right? Because I imagine that could be tough, because there's so many people that aren't in that space.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a privilege to play this role. They say light shines best in darkness, and we are in sort of dark times, and which means that it's time for me to put on the cape and do what I can to help people to tap into the simplicity of happiness. And happiness is not as deep and as far as most people think. It's based on the narrative that you have about happiness that stops you from being happy, because everybody is just go, 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 that they forget to be, because the going and the getting starts from the being. The being is where you get the energy from. The being is where you get the ideas from. And so if you're not being, where are you getting the energy to go? And if you do go, you will burn out and you have to resort back to being again. And it's, I mean, I just spent the whole day with 120 staff members up in Wellingborough, and we were just talking about the importance of celebrating yourself and looking after yourself. So it's a message that I do not plan to stop anytime soon. And I will be beating that drums until the cows come home.
Yeah, so obviously I know that you wanted to be an actor, and we can see that, you know, what an actor you would have been, to be fair. You're portraying it really, really well. But when you talk about, you know, this whole thing of, you know, the Ambassador for Happiness and the workshop that you've just alluded to, what does that look like for organisations? Is it very varied? Is it based on the request, or is it ultimately you just come out and say, this is what I am, and if you want a piece of it and you want a bit of it and you want me to spread that, I can come to your organization and work with you? Is that how it kind of works, or is it more tailored than that?
Well, I mean, depending on the needs, it's kind of tailored, but generally I just want you to picture a Coldplay concert, okay, meets an episode of James Corden, all right, and a sprinkle of Will Smith in there, along with some Oprah Winfrey, all mixed together for this wonderful experience. That's just like, woman said to me, my gosh, you're like the tonic that I needed, you know. And I've been described as the iron fist in the velvet glove. You know, when you walk in, it's fun, it's reflective. It's common knowledge, not common practice, but I'm reminding and helping people to realize the basics, but like that iron fist in that velvet glove, but I'm also challenging you a little bit. And so with different organizations, there's going to be the upliftment, there's going to be the realization, and there's going to be the walking away with strategies on how I can actually take this beautiful energy and sustain it in my busy life. I think I might write my next book might be Happiness for Busy People, because nowadays that's what it's looking.
Well, that is really interesting. I won't say when, because we're backed up, and we can't say when this is going to be and everything else. But recently we interviewed somebody, and they talked about the fact that everyone just says, how are you doing? Or say, hi, I'm busy. Nobody says, how are you doing? Nobody really gets into that conversation. All the thing is, hi, I'm busy. And I think to myself, I do that. I was like,
Hi, I'm Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben. But it's like, you do. You just say, like, you kind of introduce yourself, and it's like, how are you doing? Oh, things are so busy. But maybe this has just always been normal, and that's just our statement now, that we find ourselves busier than ever, but we're not. We're just in the moment, and we're on that bit, and we're focusing on that bit, like, say, rather than focusing on actually just being part of it and being along for the ride, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the really interesting bit, and this is the bit where, if I'm honest, when I looked at the session, I thought, this sounds interesting, but it's too simple. Happiness. Well, I'm like, well, we're all happy. We've all got, like you said, that really interesting bit for me is when people leave that session or that day or whatever, they then go, why did I focus? Why have I been focused on busy and everything else that goes with it? When ultimately there will be time. It's not you know, something that's always going to fix everything. But ultimately, if you constantly just think about going back to that bit of the happiness, it's an easy thing. It's just that reminding, and I think your role or everybody's role is to pull it out of each other, I think.
It's about role modeling it. We're living in a time where the narrative around us is doom and gloom. You can't even switch on the television now, and it's literally depressing. And it spills into social media. And what happens is, so in the brain, there was something called the mirror neuron, that if I'm around you long enough, I start to mirror your behavior. And what we tend to have, there's a collective consciousness of like, oh, woe is us. Oh, the government. Oh, education. Oh, this, oh, that, this controversy and that controversy. And media has always thrived on sort of feeding the negative. And if we are not intentional about what goes into our brain, we are going to be feeding on toxic things. And that's why for the first half of this year, actually, I can't remember the last time I watched the news, to be frank. I don't watch the news. I decided to upgrade to YouTube Premium so I can stay away from the adverts, just to give this mind a break and focus on what matters. And yeah, our narrative starts to inform our language, and our language starts to inform our framing of life. And the framework determines the focus, and the focus determines the feeling you get, which affects the action you take. And so it's, you know, what environment am I in consistently that's affecting my frame, which affects my feeling and my actions?
See, okay. I was a former religious studies teacher, philosophy teacher, right? So before I got into the world that I'm in, like, this is obviously all the religions in the world are talking about fulfillment, enlightenment, being at one with God, or doing good things so that you can get to heaven, all the stuff that goes with that, right? Underpinning all of that, or a good chunk of that, not underpinning it, but certainly connected to a lot of that stuff, is that Greek idea around happiness, pursuit of happiness, virtue, good moral character. So I hear what you're saying here, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, the pursuit of happiness as a pursuit is in and of itself probably one of those things that makes us happy. Because, and I haven't heard you say this, but I know that from what I've heard you, the way that I've seen your videos, I've seen your content on socials, is that the goal isn't the happiness, right? It could be, but the journey towards the goal can also be the happiness. So, like, in that space, like, how do you, in a dark place with the news, like you've just said, with the adverts, like we're talking about, with it, how do we, like, help people find happiness in in the journey, as well as in, like, the destination of getting the house, getting the wife, getting the whatever else it is? What does that look like?
Yeah. And so, you know, I was just listening to a podcast, and we were talking, saying, what is the definition of success? And success is the attainment of a goal. But sadly, people are moving the goalpost every time, so you don't really feel fulfilled. And for some people, if you become successful, you're not fulfilled. Another quote that says, you know, success without fulfillment is ultimate failure. Success without fulfillment is ultimate failure. So sometimes we can be successful and not be happy. And so the question we want to ask ourselves is, to the person who is moaning about life, if I took your sight away, how would you feel? If I took your arms away, how would you feel? If I took your legs away, how would you feel? If I took your home away, how would you feel? You begin to realize that there are things that we do not see when we're in that moaning frame. That when we reflect back and realize that, wow, okay, I've got this issue here, but that issue aside, I am actually blessed. And this is why I always start the day with gratitude. You see, the problem you're complaining about, someone somewhere is actually praying for that problem. You know, the situation you are in and you're complaining, I'm like, do you know what, how blessed is it is to actually complain? For you to complain, you have to use your vocal cords. You have to use your eyes to see something. You have to breathe in, and that's your lungs. You have to hear things. And so already, what a gift it is to complain. And for me, I look at the simple things that money cannot buy. And I zone in on that. I say, wow, that is success. Yes, I'm chasing stuff, which is fun, because happiness really is about growth. But if I don't achieve that goal, but I see myself growing, I'm happy. I'll just work with 3 G's, okay? Everybody needs to wake up every day and work with 3 G's, not the mobile company, all right? My kind of 3G. The first G is gratitude. What am I grateful for, and why am I grateful for that thing? A list. Every night, one thing. The next night, read the previous night, and then write another one. And then you stack it. By the end of the week, you should have 7 things stacked against each other. So you stack that. That's the first G. The second G is growth. What have I improved? What area have I improved in? Your growth. Measuring your growth really makes you feel good. The third is your goals. What are my goals? The sad thing is some goals you won't achieve until the end of the year, but growth you can measure every day. And so to get to your goals, you need to go through gratitude, growth, then your goals. But most people ignore gratitude and growth and they're focusing on the goal that creates cortisol in our system. Don't make us feel good because the feel-good chemical won't be released until we score. Imagine you kick a ball now and it's not going to hit the net until December or wherever the next month is. We need that fulfillment. So I like to put happiness around me every step of the way, in whether it's the small things or the big things.
See, and I know Steve wants to jump in here, and I'm just going to say something really quick, is that what you've done is articulated something that I've been feeling like I'm on about my kids not tidying up their room. I'm on about like having to get up at early morning to take them swimming. I'm on about like X, Y, and Z. Maybe not always vocally, but certainly I think about it. In fact, interestingly, the irony is like a family member of mine gone through a bit of a tough time, started going into the gym. I've started taking him to the gym. That's made me have to change the time that I go to the gym. Now, I prefer going at this time, but they can't go at that time. So I've had to inconvenience myself to be able to go to the gym with them. Like you've just like kind of with an iron fist in a velvet glove gone to me and gone, Ben, like the people, how many people literally are praying right now to have children? How many people are literally wishing they had a house that their children could mess up? How many people are wishing that they're the person that, they could go to the gym with a person that isn't here anymore, right? And it's like hit me like a train, like a hurricane, as Steve says this earlier with Luke Combs. Like it's powerful, right? It's powerful that we can find it in little things. We can find fulfillment and blessing and hope and happiness. It's hit me that.
I can see it. And obviously that's a personal thing, Ben, but this is what inspired me so much in terms of that session, because everything that you're saying, people can take that and it's relative in the context of every individual, because everybody will be not seeing the gratification or the gratitude in something. I do this all the time, like for the last three days or 2.5 days, because my wife did it. I've had to get up crazy because my son doesn't really sleep. But then I was like, what I've completely overlooked and doesn't really negate away from it is we spent 4 years not for Ollie, but for Ella, through IVF. And as much as you're tired at that time, and I want my little boy to sleep, and he's 2.5 years, and I wish he would sleep, the same point is, during that 4 years of IVF, we would have done anything to have children. And now I've got two, and I'm going, my kids are feral, and everything else. And I'm like, I'm sitting here at this bed. I told you, didn't I? I told you. And everybody that's listening, I told you, get ready for it. So which leads it on to that finding your why. That whole thing of, I know that you talk about, you know, like non-negotiables, filling your cup up, those kind of things. And again, we'll go into that, but it's all relative. That ultimately, what you're saying is not brand new. What you're saying is not rocket science. And I'm not trying to offend in any way, because what you do is wonderful. But it's taking it and saying, make it relevant to you. Because finding your why or filling your cup up or your non-negotiables, everybody's got them. It's just applying it to that context and knowing what you want to achieve and why, I guess, isn't it? So what goes through that finding that why in those I know your non-negotiables is Ben and Jerry's. I'm gonna break it. I'm gonna tell everybody. I know, I remember it. Ben and Jerry's on a Friday night in your favorite chair, mate.
That's the tell one. Come on, walk us That's through the it. One. So for me, as well as I pour a lot of energy out every single day, I am mindful to make sure I replace what I pour out. And I think that's what most people do. They pour out at work and they drive home on 5%. By the time they get to that door, they're on 1%. The kids come say hello. The wife or the husband comes to say hello. You're on 1%. That slither of red line on your iPhone is what you're using. You jump in a shower and it's just you're done. And for me, sometimes, like today, for instance, if I finish a keynote, I'm going straight to, you know, Five Guys to fill up, eat my burger, sleep for about 20 minutes, then jump on the train and then come home, because I'm not coming home on empty. I am not coming home on empty. If I come home on empty, everybody better be in bed, because there's no way they're going to see the zombie version of me, mate. I'm sorry, not doing that, you know. And so I'm mindful that I put that in place to make sure. And so a part of my journey is my non-negotiables, which is, yes, Ben and Jerry's, you know, ice cream on a Friday on my recliner chair with that tablespoon. And if the wife says, can I have some? The answer is, nah, baby, go get your own. Because this is Jackson time. This is where I get my energy back. Another one of my non-negotiables is roller skating at least twice a month on a Friday with my brother. You know, roller disco with some food. You can't think about your troubles while you're trying to balance on these eight wheels, okay? Good luck to you. And it brings you in the moment. And yes, maybe you don't have time to go off and do roller skating, but you can buy that Ben and Jerry's and sit there and chug it down. Or you could take that 2-minute cup of tea and just be in that moment. So that's one of the non-negotiables. Talking about remembering our why we do what we do, you know, there's something that drives everybody. And sometimes we get caught up on the how and we forget why we are doing what we're doing. So when I'm on tour, I've just finished literally a 15-day tour of the UK, keynotes everywhere. And I'm reminding myself, what's your why? Okay, part of it is empower so that they can empower the next generation. And part of it's like, yep, I'm building a business, yes. But most importantly, I want to last long enough to empower my children and to be around for me to be an inspiration to them. Your why is so important. And you need to not just know your why, but to remind yourself of that why daily. Daily, if it means writing it up, because the way it fuels you, remembering your why actually fills up your cup and makes you feel that, yep, I'm on a path of purpose here, rather than stuck in the thick of how things.
In that space, like finding a why, making sure that's grounded in that, making sure that's really, really clear in what you do. It sounds like it's a way to sustain, right? Because obviously you don't want to be a flash in the pan. We don't want to be like, there's very few people in the world that I've ever met who want to just be, don't want to have impact and don't want to have legacy, don't want to do something. And I had somebody said to me I heard somebody talking about this, and they said, what do you want to, I've probably said this on a podcast before, what's your goal in your parenting? I've got two girls as well, 13-year-old and 9-year-old. Neither Martha are like our absolute world. Like we love everything about them. They're very, very different kids. But the goal to, they said, what's your goal in parenting? I was like, your goal in parenting? What does that even look like? And I've said this multiple times. I nicked it from a guy called Andy Stanley, who said his goal was when he's, children are old enough not to have to spend time with you, that they choose to spend time with you. So my goal now is to build enough relationship and depth and kudos and character and all the stuff in my own kids that when they don't have to spend time with you, they choose to. And that would be that's a goal. Now that now, like I think to myself, well, if I could I go and fly around the world? Possibly, and that might happen. Could I go and be out 5 nights a week doing things that make a difference in the community? Of course I could. But will that help me achieve that with my own children? So it's powerful, right? So knowing why there, and then obviously filling up your own cup. Steve keeps reminding me about filling my own cup. We're running to the end of a term. We're running towards, and he keeps saying about filling up your own cup. And those things that fill your cup, it'll be different for other people, won't they?
Of course. Yeah. Definitely. It's funny you say with the girls thing. My daughter is a daddy's girl, you know, the first one, and she loves being carried. And she's 3, she still wants to be carried. My wife's like, stop carrying her, you're gonna spoil her. I said, darling, she wants to be carried. At some point in time, she won't want to be carried. And so so long as she's reaching her arm, mate, I'm picking her up. And there's a science to it. Whenever there is that kinesthetic connection with a child, there is the chemical called oxytocin that's released. That's the bonding chemical. that every time she smells you, hugs you, feels your skin, it's all part of the memory that's going to go into her mind that, like you said, when she's old enough not to be around you, something in her DNA says, I just want to see my dad today. I just want to see his face. I just want to hug him again. All because we've planted that seed. You know, things like rolling on the floor, things like yesterday we were dancing to Coldplay all throughout the day, just really having fun. And I'm being totally present. There's times where I leave the mobile phone in the glove compartment. I don't want the phone to go in with me. Oh yeah, just put it on the counter. If I put it on the counter, I'm seeing it. If I'm seeing it, I'm thinking about it. If I'm thinking about it, I'm tempted by it. So already sort of my psychic energy has already gone in that direction. But if it's in the car, I'm like, oh, who's going to go out in the cold to go and get the phone? Forget it. Be here. And those are some of the strategies that I've put in place that has allowed me to feed that why as a dad, you know. And it makes me feel good that when I get on stage, I'm able to share such, which then feeds the why of serving humanity.
Sounds like a song, Jackson. It sounds like a song. I remember. and one of the...
He's reaching for it.
So, is there a better time? Ben's a good singer, so Ben might join in. I'm definitely not, but... Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. So my thing about my sessions with organizations is keep it simple, keep it fun, keep it memorable. And the two lines is, you know, remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why, fill up your cup. Why do you do what you do and keep filling up your cup? Remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why. Remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why. Remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why. Remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why. Remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why, Monday, Tuesday, go. Remember your why, fill up your cup. Remember your why.
Round of applause. Round of applause. And I remember leaving the session, and it was like iRobot. And we're all leaving, and I think straight after, I don't think we went into another session. I think it was a bit of a coffee break. And I remember I stood next to someone. I think it was Lawrence Tajani, actually. And I always remember stood next to Lawrence. And I was like, are you humming the same thing I'm humming? And literally, we were singing along, like filling up our cup of coffee. And then getting into something else. And I was like, it's simple. It's simple. Yeah. But the thing that you just said is, it's just making it memorable. And I think that's the thing that, it's not rocket science, as we keep saying, but it's remember your why and fill up your cup. Mm-hmm. And I do forget at times. And I do forget that gratitude bit and everything else. And that's fine as well, because ultimately, you know, that's why you're here. That's why you're sending me messages, just to remind me of it. That's everyone needs a Jackson, don't they? But I suppose what I'm interested in, I suppose what our listeners will be interested in is, this has obviously been delivered to leaders. Mm. And where do you see this? Because obviously they need to have a think about, ultimately, if they're burnt out in education, think about your time poor in terms of teachers, time poor and the pressures in education. Do you think that leading with this mindset and trying to create and nurture this in our leaders is such a key aspiration, not just in education, but everything that we do, I guess?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, everything rises and falls on leadership. And if we can model what it means to have that balanced life between the work, the play, the rest, it makes the journey up the mountain a lot easier. And I think the job of leadership is to know the way, show the way, and go the way, you know, and And you can tell when a leader is doing it, and by their tone, by their words, and by what they permit. I, as a leader, when I have a team member who's going through something personally, I know how to talk to that person because I know how I would like to be talked to, spoken to. And so the future of anything starts with who we are as human beings. That if you ignore the most basic things, which is yourself, and this is why I'm going to speak a bit about the book I'm currently reading that's really sort of blown me away, Atomic Habits by James Clear. That book has revolutionized my life. I've studied habits all my life, but somehow the way this one was framed really made it easy for me to implement simple ideas in my life that would make me even happier. And I feel happy for it. And so any leader listening, your team needs you to model happiness and success. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you really care. And everybody's walking around with two questions in their mind. Am I good enough and am I loved? Am I good enough? Am I loved? And if your leadership is not answering those questions, they're going to feel frustrated and they won't perform at their best. I'm not saying sing kumbaya, we're all happy, 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 but happiness is the foundation to success. It is in our DNA. And so creating the habits around us, okay, something as simple as before you go to work, okay, get in the car, pause for 30 seconds, grab the steering wheel and just breathe. And just pause. Allow your brain to get centered. Just for 30 seconds. In that moment. And then go on with your day. The magic it does. It's amazing. Instead of just go, go, go. Because you're training your brain to just be on go mode. And when you're in pause mode, you don't know how to pause anymore. Because you become a robot to your work.
Yeah. And it's not rocket science. It's not a difficult thing to do this. So why but we make it becomes so difficult. So I think to myself, like a gratitude journal, great, simple. And then I make it into, okay, well, I need to make sure I do that every day, and I make sure I do it. I've got to have it, write it in this way, and it's got to be in that pen. And then I make it like, oh, why am I making this so complicated, right? Just say thank you. Just say thank you. Like,
yeah,
I'm grateful today because, and even if it is as simple as I'm grateful today that we've got through another day. I'm grateful today that I'm better than I was. I'm grateful today that I lost my stuff with my kids, but it wasn't the end of it, and I apologize. Like, it could be all of those things, right? I'm grateful that I go to sleep today and I can go to sleep. So, I think that's really powerful. And I think when it comes then, because we don't want superficial happiness, we don't want it to be like surface level. Oh yeah, I'm when people say to you, how are you, and you go, yeah, I'm fine, yeah, oh life is great, like when it's not. We want reality, but how do we then, in that space of when things aren't great, when things are tough, and I know that there are, we talked about earlier, like could it be worse, and it absolutely could be worse. How do we deal with that, like overcoming of challenge or overcoming of a space where things aren't, I'm not happy right now, and I don't want to just will myself into happiness, or things are hard and I don't really know where to turn.
I think we've got to understand about labels and framing. It's not failure until you label it failure and until you see it as failure. So if you determine something as, so today in my session, I had a heckler, you know, she asked a very funny question that was challenging. So I just bought my wife a car and, you know, and everybody's like, oh, wow. And then she said, well, why couldn't she buy her own car? Why did you have to buy her the car? I was just like, ooh, touchy. What's going on there? She was like, yeah, well, you know, I think that's undermining her, you know. But I then said, my wife likes gifts. And so me buying her a car was something that she wanted. So the other lady then said, oh, that must have been very difficult in your session to have that difficult question, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I love it. It's like having a heckler, you know. And so my frame would determine my experience. And so whenever we're in our dark time, if it's a dark time or a challenging time, sit with it. Sit with it. Why? There's a lesson in it. There's a lesson in it. And I think sometimes we want to rush out of dark times. We want to rush out of our challenges. Don't rush. It's part of that journey. It's like disruptions and distractions. The downs. The downs make the up feel good. And so I like to embrace both. 2020, lost a lot of money because of, you know what? My work is mainly in education. Sat at home on Zoom trying to motivate people. Income, zero. Bounce back loan, couldn't bounce back from the bounce back loan. And so I was faced with this mammoth economic challenge that knocked me, boom. Mr. Happy wasn't so happy. And so I said, okay, Mr. Happy, what's in your toolbox right now? Screw the toolbox. I'm not happy. I'm frustrated. Not saying anything to my wife. I'm keeping it to myself. I would wake up heavy, go to bed heavy. And I realized that, Jackson, this is not you. Picked up the phone, talked to my friend. And I was like, bro, I'm going for a difficult one, you know. He's like, and all he said was, talk to me, brother. And I just started expressing. And I realized that there's a lesson in that. And what was so beautiful in those dark times, I decided to tap into my innovation and creativity to get out of that situation. And so it's all about labels and meaning. The meaning you put on something will determine the experience. And so if you label something as dark and sad and frustrating, cool, that's the label, but be willing to sit with that label and be one with that. Yes, it's difficult, but know that there is always, as they say, rain at the end of the rainbow. You know, what is Dolly Parton? There is no sunshine, what is it? There's no sunshine without rain kind of thing. You need the two, you know.
Yeah, it's that this too shall pass.
Yes.
This too shall pass. Like, yeah. And we talk about that. That landed for me as well recently. I've shared it with a few people recently, that whole thing around, that whole thing around good things will pass, bad things will pass.
Yeah.
It'll pass. It might take a long time, but it'll pass. So, interesting.
Definitely.
Steve, I know you're all over this, right, aren't you?
Were you going to jump in there, Jackson?
It's the circle of life. I was watching Kung Fu Panda a couple of years ago, you know, and the man was like, oh, I got news. Like,
still there? Jackson? We've lost him. He's staring.
We could see him, but he can't hear us.
Keep going, man.
Kung Fu Panda.
Still there. Maybe he's got a technical fault. We'll keep going back. But Ben, obviously everything we're going through... But yeah, I think it just resonates, and I've said it, you've said it a million times, and we're going, it's just not rocket science, but it's like, what? Are you there, Jackson?
Yeah.
I'm back. You know, someone's you were trying there. To call me.
So it's all right. Anybody that was still watching, because obviously it's podcast, but people will be watching it as well. We could just see you staring. I was like, we've lost him.
He was trying to find his happiness. He was trying to find his happiness.
I was looking for it.
Right, let's go back to it. Kung Fu Panda.
Yes.
Panda. Can you remember? Go on.
Yeah, it's like, there's bad news. Is that bad news? Good news. It's just news. It depends on how you see the news. And it's about the label. And I think we've gotten used to putting certain label on certain things, and that's where we live from. And so for me, it's being careful about the label I put on things that would then determine my emotion about that thing.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, isn't it? It's not about just the happiness and just saying everything's rosy, nothing ever bad happens. Like I say, it's celebrating both, understanding both, not celebrating both, but understanding both, embracing both, I think, is rather than celebrating both. But it's also that understanding of going back to that finding your why and filling your cup up. So in those challenging times, where possible, because if you haven't got no money, you might struggle getting Ben and Jerry's, or you might struggle with some bits. But ultimately, it's then, okay, it's not the one thing. Do you know, like you've said, there's many different things. Ultimately, and the thing, the reason why I run, and yes, I buy expensive running trainers now, but ultimately, it's the thing that I feel comfortable with, and I don't have to drive anywhere. As long as I'm able, and my dad isn't able. My dad broke his neck 40 years ago.
Wow.
He broke his neck. He was told he was never going to walk again. He walked again. He worked for a long period of time and ended up, you know, he's not in great health. But I remember whenever I do a long run or I complete a race, and it's always within the last mile that I feel it. And I always think, I do this because my old man would love to do this. Like my old man played football. He was a footballer. He played squash. He did all of that. And he can't. And I always think to myself, in those last months of any race, whether it's a 5K, 10K, and generally a long run where there's a finish line and there's supporters, I embrace it. And I think, regardless of that, I've hit a wall and I've run 26 mile, that last mile is me embracing and celebrating and thinking, even if I have the cheapest trainers on, I will still run because my dad can. And I think it's that thing of, you know, running has got me out of in terms of some of my mental health and some of my challenges, running has got me out of it because, one, obviously helps me exercise and gives all of the endorphins and everything else it does. Two, it allows me to eat as much as I want. And I know that's not always the best thing, like you've said, but, you know, ultimately I eat like a marathon runner even when I'm training for a 5K. That's life. That's just it. I'm 40. I can live with that. But also, people always say to me, what do you think about, you know, running for 4 hours doesn't sound like fun. And I'm like, actually, I am alone in my own thoughts and I process a lot. And I think, honestly, on a long run, I always think about my dad. Always. Yeah. Especially for the long period of time. And it's that whole thing of, it pulls me out. Because I then think gratitude. Because ultimately, like I said, we said right at the beginning, what am I grateful for? I'm grateful for my dad. I'm grateful that my dad's still here. But I'm also grateful that I can still run. Despite the fact that I've had two ACL reconstructions, all that kind of stuff, I can still run and I can do it and it's cheap. Wow. So, and I think just going, and I'm not going to make it a sob story, definitely not for anybody who knows me, but that's definitely one of my whys and one of the things that I always focus on when I'm doing it. But it links to that well-being element that ultimately I think it's become a buzzword for many, hasn't it? Do you know, if you think about, you know, like in education, in organisations, a well-being champion, and they're it's not their problem because they want to support it, but it's that thing of focusing on being well rather than trying to fix and feel like we have to fix those people that are in some dark times. I think it should be a narrative of all and trying to celebrate and rise it and trying to rise all the tide for even those people who are still doing well, because ultimately everybody's well-being is to support everybody. Like I say, everybody can improve. And I think often we focus on the negative narrative of well-being. And I don't know if you're seeing that in some of your work and some of the stuff that you're doing.
Yes, I'm getting very strategic with the labeling once again. You know, I come in, I'm doing all well-being, but I'm not going to call it well-being, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like oxygen. You're going to need it. I don't care what you call it. You're still going to need it. And it is so true that we've got to look after ourselves. One of the things I find with most of the people that I work with, they just forget to do the simple things. And this is why creating a habitual lifestyle, here's what we got to do. We got to create a system that fosters energy protection, protecting our energy. Things like, right, I got my water, I fill it up the night before, I'm taking that water with me. I got tangerines in the car instead of Snickers bars. You know, I've got my music playlist ready to go on my way to work or whatever. And so you put those things that are easy to reach, no brainers, which allows you to really feel that, okay, you know, I've done a little something for me today. And, you know, to anyone listening, watching, you know, you need to do it. Don't get complicated with it. Keep it very simple. 1% improvement every day can make a remarkable changes in your life. something as simple as, so recently I changed the way I eat. So I don't eat before 12 and I don't eat after 8. And I find that I started to sleep better. So far this year, I haven't had to use an alarm clock once because my body just gets up at exactly the same time, which is quite freaky. I'm thinking, what's this about? You're not abusing your body anymore, Jackson. So it's getting the energy that it needs and it's getting up and it's going back to the rhythm of nature. I said, oh, this is really beautiful to experience. So it's about tweaking one or two things. Can't change everything overnight. Might pick one thing and change that.
And that ties to that conversation about atomic habits, right? So the whole principle that James Clear talks about is that hundreds of small decisions compounding that yes. then means that if you do the little things mm-hmm. and stack those habits, right, then essentially big change will happen. So interestingly, I talked earlier about like currently trying to be on a health kick. I've been on health kicks for as long as I can remember, right? I've run marathons. I've done this and that and the other. I'm like, oh, this is it now. I'm doing something else. But interesting, one of the things that has shifted in me in terms of my thought process around habits is I don't need to eat just because it's that time of day. So my mm-hmm. process has always been like I have breakfast, I have lunch, I have an evening meal, mm-hmm. and that's always happens. Yeah. But I don't need to eat if I'm not hungry. Sometimes, like the principle has been like, I'm only eating because it's that time of day. And I'm only eating because those people are eating, or I'm only eating because that thing's in the drawer. So I'm trying to move myself into that thing of hunger is okay. Mm-hmm. It's not the worst thing in the world. And second of all, like small little steps, like, if I'm hungry, I heard somebody say this, if you're hungry, go and have a drink. And then if you're still hungry in 30 minutes, then you might need to eat something. Mm. So it's that whole process of like little tiny things. And so I'm now 12 kilos down from what I was at Christmas, and I'm not where I want to be, but I am much further on than I was. Like I've got t-shirts that fit me now that didn't fit me at Christmas. Like everything is moving in a direction, little steps, right? Following a training program rather than just going to the gym and thinking, oh, what am I going to do today? I know that tomorrow is a leg day. Yeah, today was a pull day. It's little things, right? It's not rocket science. I've said it once before. Like little habits that compound that make a big difference. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
It is. And it's the smallest thing. I think sometimes people overwhelm themselves with the big things. It's just, okay, so I'll give you a classic example. Sometimes when I finish my keynotes, I might stop by at Costa and get myself a large hot chocolate with the ginger nut syrup with soya milk. So I'm like, easy with the sugar. The other day, they were like, oh, what size would you want? I said, give me the small instead of the large. I'm still having hot chocolate, but instead of the large, I've gone for the small. So I'm still like, and I heard the voice in my head, ooh, Mr. Discipline, look at you though, with the small hot chocolate. And so the next time I go back, it's going to be the small again, going to be the small. So I'm trying to say you can still have the things you like, but in moderation, because you are casting a vote for discipline every time you make that one decision, you know. And there are times where I'm just like, right, cool, I will eat that cake. That's okay. I'm making that decision. So if habits are kept simple, it's easy to achieve them. And I love the habit stacking where you attach one habit to another. So I've just finished brushing my teeth. And after that, boom, I do my gratitude. Or for me, before I jump in the shower, I do my age in push-ups. If I can't be bothered to do my age in push-ups, I do 10 push-ups. But I must do something every day. So I've got like 12-minute workouts, 30-minute workouts, 45-minute workout. I'm like, dude, it's 12 minutes long. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do 12 minutes. And that gives me what I need for that day. So it's really strategizing and systemizing around your life so that you can optimize the best.
I'm sold. Oh, where do we sign up? I've already done it. I signed up. I bought it. I bought a ticket. We're really pleased and honoured, obviously, for you to spend an hour or almost an hour with us sharing these insights. I think, be honest, I think as a leader, what I would say, and I've said to other leaders, is I think everybody should have an hour. And I don't know what it is. I think it is the message. I think it's the simplicity of it. But I think it's just the aura. And I'm not a religious person at all, and that's fine. You know, like I'm friends with people that are, and friends with that. It's not. But I once met the Dalai Lama, and I once spent an hour with the Dalai Lama quite a few years ago, and I remember somebody said, "What did it feel like when you had his presence in the room?" And he's probably only one of the most influential people I've ever met, and been, I suppose, I was blessed by him as he was going around and doing everything else. And everybody said, "Do you think he's the supreme being and everything else?" And I was like, "One thing I can tell you is everybody in that room that spent time in that room, I have never seen faces as happy and as lifted as in that room. And I'm going to big you up here, because my hour with you, I looked around in the chaos of some of the challenges I've gone through, and I was tearing up for a lot of your session. And I looked around and I'm thinking, this has spoke to everybody." And there might be people saying, "I've been to it," and that's fine. Everybody's got their own opinion. But for me, I left that room, and so did everybody else during that session. And I think it's the aura, the happiness, your can-do attitude, and the stuff that you bring to it. Everybody should spend an hour with you, mate. I'll tell you now. Because, you know, try not to be happy when I've spent an hour with Action Jackson. I just don't know if it's possible. It's possible. And Ben's going to come in and say, "No, I waste the time." But that's absolutely fine. But we're coming to an end of it. And what we always do with every single guest this season is we've got three quick-fire questions, okay? Three quick-fire. So I'll start them off. Okay, are you ready for them?
Let's go.
Future of exams. Online, traditional, scrapped.
Scrapped.
Key skill for educators. Oh, no, not for educators, sorry. Key skill for students in 2040.
Communication skills.
Education in 50 years. What is your vision?
AI robots customized to take care of our kids because they know their needs from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet.
We didn't expect that answer. We thought we'd say everybody's happy and they're growing well. I agree with Steve. It feels impossible when you've got a smile as big as your smile and you've got a presence that I like to think I'm good at reading people and spotting fakes. My wife would say, "No, you're not, Ben. You're a sucker. You believe everything and you want to believe the best out of people." I was like, no, I think I read people. And what I've seen in this last 58 and almost 59 minutes is a real person. And I think you cannot fail but to just believe that what you're saying is you live and breathe it. You said earlier that leaders have got to know the way, show the way, and go the way. And what I see in what you're doing is you know how to be happy yourself, you're showing other people how to be happy, and you're going that way yourself. So we can't fail to learn from that. So we're very, very grateful for the time you've given us tonight, Action.
It's a pleasure. And to everybody watching, thank you so much for the time, and just keep looking after what matters the most, because you are a gift to this planet. Thank you both for this time.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah. Thank you.